It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. If you look at the pictures in Molly Wood's most recent photo exhibition, you will first be struck by the beauty of the shots. But if you look closer, you'll find something sinister behind all of this beauty. The plants photographed in this collection are all poisonous. She calls her collection Fatal Flora, and her exhibit, The Poison Garden, is on display at the Dubuque Museum of Art through January 12th. Molly Wood lives in Des Moines. She was an Iowa Arts Council Fellow in 2018, and she is with me now. Hello, Molly.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And before we get to these poisonous plants, let's talk about you. Tell me when you first started taking pictures.
It really started with my grandfather. My grandmother died very young, and he didn't have many pictures of her. And he was one of those people that always had a camera around his neck. I never saw him without one. And he, when I was a little girl, he would take me on walks around his farm in rural Louisiana and teach me how to take pictures. And he always had stories about the tree that he fell out of, or the irises that his grandmother planted, or, you know, there were always stories about the plants. And he just kind of developed that love in me for plants and stories and photography.
Well, in his grief over not having pictures mm-hmm. of his wife, I mean, did that imbue pictures with just extra power for you?
It really did. Yeah. Yeah. Just photography and storytelling kind of all became intertwined. And I think subconsciously I ended up using botanicals as metaphors for human experiences after that.
What do you mean by that?
Just the way plants kind of mirror life. For one example, my father died the same year that my daughter was born. And I noticed that year I was doing a lot of images of the life cycle of plants and kind of the continuity of things coming back into season. And, you know, I could see his smile in my daughter's eyes. And, you know, there felt like some comfort in that continuity.
What do you think attracted you to taking pictures of flowers and other plants? I mean, they surround us all the time, but your photos take us so close and allow us to see things that we can't see if we just look around. What drew you to them as subjects?
I'm not really sure, other than just that was what my grandfather and I were taking pictures of out on his farm. I also loved the photographer Imogen Cunningham from the 1930s. Her images of flowers were always beautiful to me, but it was just something that kind of intuitively drew me.
Do you remember the first time you felt like you captured something really special in taking pictures of a flower?
I think that would probably be when I... There were huge live oak trees in my grandfather's town, a really small town in Louisiana, and they had those huge Louisiana live oak trees with the arching branches and all the different moss hanging off of it. And I think one of those pictures that I took in college really struck a chord with me, and I thought, yeah, this is what I want to do.
You know, when we take pictures because we see something beautiful, so when people who are not photographers take a picture in response to seeing something beautiful, so often we can't quite capture the beauty of what we see. Mm-hmm. But I'm struck that when I look at your photographs, you allow us to see beauty that we wouldn't see if we were just looking at a flower.
Well, thank you.
Is that what you're trying to do? Are you trying to get us to look at these plants in a different way?
I am. I like to get really close up to them, not to the part where it's a macro abstract kind of photography, but I like to look closely and then blow them up really large. So they're about 3 feet, 3 feet tall, so they're much larger than life size and make people really look in kind of a bee's eye view of what's going on with the flowers.
You mentioned seeing plants and flowers as metaphors for life, and I already mentioned that the subject of this exhibition are poisonous plants. Mm-hmm. So tell me where that interest came from.
So I things were tooling along nicely with my photography, and I was showing a bit, and things were going well. And then, like so many people, I ended up getting divorced. And after that relationship, I really lost my confidence and didn't feel like putting my heart up on the wall. But I missed it so much that I kind of snuck up on it and was taking pictures on the side thinking, okay, I'm never going to show anybody these. But I was looking at poppies in particular. My grandfather, I called him Pop-Op, and my dad, before he died, his grandfather name was Poppy, and it's my mom's favorite flower, and it's just kind of a family flower. I was looking at them and thinking about how they're used, has this duality that they can be healing and they can be toxic. And I was hearing that word a lot, you know, a toxic relationship. And I had a few other toxic relationships that I was ending around that time too. And it just got me thinking about how complicated that word is, that nothing is that simple. You know, we've all had relationships that seemed good at first and then turned out to be bad. And nothing is that black and white. And I kind of wanted to look into different plants that had that duality.
That also led you to think about and do some research about women's relationship mm-hmm. with these toxic or these poisonous plants through history. Tell me a little bit more about what you found there.
My daughter and I were watching The Borgias, a TV show on The Borgias, and I was very interested in how Lucrezia Borgia was using plants. She was accused of poisoning people, and she was also using plants to heal people, and she was getting to know the women healers that were in the background. I'm an art history geek, so I kind of went.
And for people who aren't familiar with the Borgias, I mean, this is an incredibly, I guess, iconic family that mm-hmm. was prominent during the Italian Renaissance and known for extremely bad behavior in a number of different ways.
Right. Yeah, it was said that if you're going to have dinner at the Borgia household, you should get your will in order before you leave.
And that had something to do with plants, right?
Right, right. The poison usually had some kind of botanical basis. They still don't know what it was called Cantarella. They still don't know exactly what was in that poison. But anyway, I became interested in finding out what other plants had that duality of being toxic but also healing. And it led me to researching women's healing gardens, medicinal gardens. Women would have gardens where they would grow herbs and different plants that they could use as medicine for their household. That led to that could lead to accusations of witchcraft. If you could make a potion that would make somebody sick or make them well, that was subverting the will of God, and you could be accused of witchcraft because of that. So it was kind of an interesting rabbit hole to go down and see women's relationship to using plants.
That also, in starting to take pictures of plants that fall into this category, you have been growing a lot of these plants, right?
I have. There are a few that grow naturally in Iowa. Ricinus, which is where ricin comes from, is also called castor bean plant, and you see it in people's gardens everywhere around here. It's a, you know, dramatic, bright red leaf. It's very pretty. It grows easily, but it's also milled in the right way. It's the most toxic natural poison on earth. There are also datura is kind of a moonflower. It's also called Jimson weed. That grows naturally here. So if I could have them at home and grow them and watch them change throughout the season, you know, they would flower and then they would go to seed. A lot of times the seed pod is very different looking than the flower. I found that interesting to watch them as they went through that cycle.
What's your approach to taking photographs of plants? Because looking at your photos, I mean, you're not just trying to capture them as they grow. You are, in some cases, even dissecting the plants. How do you approach it?
Well, for one thing, I'm very interested in only using natural light, like the Renaissance painters did when they did flower paintings. I'm interested in kind of capturing that painterly light at the end of the day just through a one window lighting situation. So I look for that setup. But I also just like the complexity of the structure of the plants. Poppy flowers are really crepey and delicate, but then when they go to the seed, those seed pods inside are really complex architectures. And I think it kind of shows the complexity of the plant itself and how it's used.
This photography project of taking pictures of poisonous plants led you to a really extraordinary journey, an opportunity to visit one of the most famous poison gardens in the world. Tell me about that.
Yes. I was lucky enough to receive a project grant from the Iowa Arts Council to put on this show, but then got separate funding to go and take pictures of plants at the Annick Poison Garden in Northumberland, England. And Annick Castle is where a lot of the Harry Potter broomstick flying scenes were shot. It's also where Downton Abbey, they use that as the location for Downton Abbey, that movie.
Not the location, but one of the locations.
Yes,
right?
Yes. So they have a separate little area of the garden that has these huge iron gates with skull and crossbones that say everything in this garden can kill you and you have to be let in. But they were just so generous and they let me, gave me gloves and a mask and a bucket and said, go ahead and cut what you need and take photographs. And they were able to show me plants that I couldn't grow in Iowa. Things like deadly nightshade and henbane and some of the more witchy baddest of the bad poison plants. I never could grow here. I'm sure if anybody was monitoring my Amazon orders, they might have wondered why I'm ordering
concerned.
All of these deadly nightshade seeds. And what is this woman doing?
But so do you take a light box with you? Because the photos that you take are on a black background. You talked about using only natural light. What's your setup like?
So it's very basic, a piece of black velvet to absorb the light as much as possible, and then just close everything off except for one window, and I just get down in that window and get close up to things. I'm usually at the end of, right before sunset, that sort of golden hour when the sun's coming in sideways is the best light. But I took things back to the place I was staying and shot there and was very careful about how I threw things away.
There's a photo of a clematis, which is something that we often have mm-hmm. in our own gardens, in our own yards here, but a seed head. Mm-hmm. And it's you don't just capture the beauty of it, but you capture it in motion. There's a breeze that's blowing it to one side. How did you do that?
Actually, it just was stuck that way.
Oh, wow.
It was not a breeze.
It looks like motion.
Yeah, that's it kind of looks like a Dr. Seuss plant.
A trefala tree.
Yeah.
So you mentioned henbane, which is one of the things that you photographed, but you actually felt some of the effects of henbane.
I did.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. They warned me not to stick my face down and breathe in the scent of the flowers and things, but I was working with some henbane seed pods, and just a one dime size flower was in the mix, and just leaning down and shooting it for a while. After I was shooting, I went up to my computer and I was starting to try to work on the image, and I could not remember how to open a file. And it's like, wow, I must be really, jet lagged or something. And then I realized, no, I'm loopy. Because I've been breathing in these fumes, so
wow,
they
was
really
a little
are.
Frightening?
It was. It's like, okay, this is serious, and maybe it's a good thing I didn't grow it in my backyard.
So when people look at these photographs, I mean, they're stunningly beautiful. And when they're on display, they're gigantic. What do you want people to take away from the experience?
Partly just to look a little bit closer at how beautiful things are around them, but also to think about the way that things can be very complex, that things can be seductive and beautiful and alluring, but also be hurtful if you're not on your game and watching out for it. Not to be that paranoid, but just, you know, that things are complex.
The Poison Garden is on display at the Dubuque Museum of Art through January 12th. Are there other opportunities on the horizon for people to see your photos?
I show at Olson Larson Galleries in West Des Moines in Valley Junction, and then the show is also going to be, parts of the show will be in Sioux City this August, and then there will actually be another show at Central College in Pella in March.
And so you talked about these flowers, these plants as a metaphor. What's the next metaphor you're pursuing?
I have been interested in doing memento mori kind of still lives. That was another Dutch Renaissance golden era painting theme of how life is fleeting and we can't waste our time here.
That sounds like a happier metaphor. Maybe.
For happier times, yes. Yes.
Well, Molly, thank you so much for talking
thank
with
you.
Me today. Molly Wood is a photographer who lives in Des Moines. She was an Iowa Arts Council Fellow in 2018, and her exhibit, The Poison Garden, is on display at the Dubuque Museum of Art through January 12th, but there will be other opportunities throughout the year and hopefully years to see these really remarkable photographs. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio. Our producers are Rick Brewer, Dennis Reese, Matt Alvarez, and Caitlin Harrop. You can get in touch with us anytime. Email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org, and you never have to miss an episode. Please subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcast. Just search for Talk of Iowa. This is Talk of Iowa. I'm Charity Nebbie.